In the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, beginning at the first verse, this is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of Romans, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus this morning. Today we have the privilege of welcoming our preschool staff to worship, to our worship services to be installed at Epiphany Lutheran Church preschool. I hope, that they would tell you that they enjoy being part of Epiphany's family here, serving the needs of children who put into our care by their parents. And I hope that the parents would place their children here because they believe that their children will be well cared for, and because they want their small ones to receive knowledge and belief in Jesus as their Savior. In this country, it's our right to have the kind of education that we want and can afford. And we at Epiphany feel that we have a high caliber of education to offer to these children. It's very desirable and rewarding to be included in a community that is caring, that is servant-oriented, and that is spiritual as well. Now, in our gospel lesson today, we heard an encounter with a woman who very much wanted to be included in the community of Jesus' believers. You see, she was an outsider. She was not a Jew. In fact, her heritage was considered so far away from the Jews as you could get. A Canaanite. Canaanites were considered by the Jews to be enemies and very much looked down upon. In fact, the Jews thought the Canaanites were pagans, and they were basically as capable of receiving a blessing from God as were the dogs. I guess it wasn't a good thing to be either a dog or a Canaanite in Jesus' time. Well, this woman saw what Jesus was doing. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. And she wanted to get relief for her daughter, who was also demon-possessed. The fact that she was considered an outsider wasn't a barrier to her, because she was desperate. And as they say, desperate times call for desperate measures. And so somehow she was able to get close to Jesus. And so she began to beg him for help for her daughter. Now Jesus, I believe, decided to use this encounter as a teaching tool, a teaching event for the people that were present that day. And so when she begged him, he didn't say anything at first. Maybe he was testing her to see how sure her resolve was. I mean, she had been very bold to come up to him to begin with, a Jew. Because Jews didn't talk to Canaanites. They didn't interact with them at all. The disciples knew that. That's why they said, "Send her away, send her away, she's a nuisance." Once again, the disciples failed the compassion test. Then Jesus said to her some curious things. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." You see, he had come first to God's chosen nation, the nation of Israel, the Jews. And he was pointing out the fact that she was not part of that nation. She was not a Jew. But she kept begging him anyway, begging him to help. And he replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." You see, that was a reference to, and she knew that, how the Jews felt about the Canaanites. You know, when I read that many years ago, I thought to myself, and probably you thought the same thing, that wasn't a nice thing for Jesus to say to that woman. But you have to look at Jesus' ministry in its entirety. Yes, he made the comment about coming first to the nation of Israel, the chosen people. But where was he? He was in the midst of Tyre and Sidon, an area called Phoenicia. It was not Jewish territory. So who was he serving? Who was he ministering to here, if not the Canaanites and the other Gentiles? Do you think that Jesus was so cruel and elitist that he would put this woman down? No, that's not what he was doing. He was merely pointing out the opinion of the Jews of that day, who were cruel and elitist. And he wanted to contrast their opinion with what he was about to do in his compassion. The woman then issued a bold statement. "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She was saying, yes, it is right to help her, because even dogs need to be fed. You see, she was going along with this derogatory label because she knew that she was worthy of being helped. Of course, Jesus had intended to help her all along. And I think she knew that. Notice what she called him when she first approached him. She said, "Lord, Son of David." Now, that was a term that was reserved by the Jews for the Messiah. The Messiah. She obviously had faith in him by what other people said and by what she saw. She had faith that, in fact, he was the Savior that all of the Jewish population was waiting to come rescue them. And she wanted her daughter rescued too. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Jesus' lesson was that he came first to the Jews because they were God's chosen people, but he also came to the non-Jews. We use the broad term of Gentiles, you and I, those who were previously outsiders. Were considered insiders. They were included. Included with salvation. Included as God's children. Included in the inheritance of eternal life that we call heaven. You see, we're like that woman. How so? We were once enemies of God. How could that be? Well, we were born into sin. We were born into sin that came through the generations from Adam and Eve when they first sinned in the Garden of Eden. And that sin separated us from God. However, just like he came to that woman in the gospel, he comes to us to offer salvation to all who believe that he is the Messiah, our Savior, the Son of God. As Paul said in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 1, he said, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." The question for all of us this morning is that do we want to be included? Or are we content to stay outsiders? If you've received God's Holy Spirit in your heart and you believe that Jesus is who He says He is, you are included. But some people in this world would say that our belief in Jesus is exclusionary. How can they say that? Well, they point to Jesus' words in John 14. When he was answering a question that Thomas posed to him, and he was answering it for his disciples and us today, Jesus answered in John 14, 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Oh, that's way too exclusionary for today's politically correct society. Oh no. Because that means if you believe in Buddha, or if you believe in Muhammad, or even if you're a Jew, God's chosen people who don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, then you will not be included when Jesus comes to take us to eternal life. Yes, that's what Jesus said. And he was either a liar, a madman, or he was telling the truth. And I would tend to believe someone who told everyone exactly what was going to happen to him, which, by the way, was predicted for thousands of years before his birth, and then it happened. He was a perfect, innocent, sacrificial lamb who died in our place. He then rose from His death tomb to show His mastery over death and the grave, and thereby take away all of our sins. And He is currently alive today, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Where's Buddha? Where's Muhammad? Our Jesus is alive. And He came to include us, not to exclude us. It's we that do the excluding, not Him. We exclude ourselves when we refuse to accept the Holy Spirit's invitation to receive faith. We exclude when we think that we know better how God should save everybody. We exclude when we have the arrogance to think that we can make up our own rules instead of living by the rules of the One who made us. It is we who are exclusionary when we think that there are some people who are incapable or not worthy to be saved. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, I'm talking to myself here as much as I'm talking to you all. Do we go out of our way to tell of salvation through Jesus to the Canaanites of our day? You know, the homeless? The people that may be living on the other side of the tracks, the incarcerated, the people who we think are way off base in their religion. If we're to follow our Master, our Lord, the Son of David, then we will want to bring the good news to everyone, not exclude anyone. Jesus came to bring the good news to the Gentiles, and here we are, saved. There was someone in your life who didn't think you were dogs, incapable of being saved, because they read to you Holy Scripture. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we believed that Jesus is who He says He is. And we became included. And now we're included with millions of people across the globe who celebrate God's work of inclusion. We receive healing like the Canaanite woman did. We receive mercy and forgiveness. We join these people in prayer across the globe. We join them in praising our wonderful God. We receive spiritual nourishment from Jesus' body and blood in just a few minutes. We receive wisdom and encouragement and direction from His Holy Scripture. Our eyes are open to Him, and we see beyond this temporary world that we live in to see the everlasting world that we will be with Him in heaven after death. Now, I want to say something about inclusion. I'm not talking about the modern day term or concept of inclusion. Today, the term inclusion to me means sort of a code word for lifestyle diversity. You know, whatever makes you happy is okay. Well, God wants us to live by His laws, laws contained in His Holy Scripture. Can we keep them perfectly? Of course not. But we have forgiveness when we fall short of and are truly sorry for our failure, and we want to live the way He wants us to live. Now, the world would tell us that we can just live by our own rules. No, we are not God. He tells us how He wants us to live. Jesus said the way to God the Father is through belief in Him. He also said in Matthew 7, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Broad is the easy road of anything goes. All roads lead to heaven. Narrow is the road that leads through Jesus, because that broad road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to eternal life. And Jesus said that only a few will find it. You know, that saddens me. That saddens me that only a few are going to find it. Because some people today and some people that we know will not be joining us on that narrow road. However, you have to know that as long as there's breath in their body, they have a chance to be included. And we can help them. We can help them by bringing the good news of Jesus to them too. I mean, look at our second lesson today from Paul's letter to the Roman church. Remember, Paul used to be Saul, a Jewish leader and a persecutor of Christians. But Jesus got a hold of him and included him in his kingdom work and used him to include many, many, many Gentiles, including us. However, Paul's heart ached over the fact that many of his fellow countrymen, many of the Jews from which he came, did not believe in Jesus as their Messiah. He said in our second lesson today from chapter 11, he said, "Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them." You see, he wanted people to see belief in Jesus as so beneficial and so joy-filled that they would be envious and they would want it too. His heart ached so much that two chapters before this, he'd said that if he could, he would cut himself off from Christ if that meant that Israel would be saved. In chapter 9, he said, "I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel." You see, there's a heart that was dedicated to bringing as many outsiders as they could onto that narrow road too. That's the heart that God wants us to have, to bring as many outsiders as possible onto that narrow road. My friends, we can rejoice that if we believe in Jesus as our Savior, we are included. We're on that narrow road. And because of that, we have work to do along the way. Bringing the salvation message to even the little ones who you have the privilege to come into your class. And the rest of us, we can teach our children. We can teach our grandchildren about Jesus. They're not too young. There's none that are too young to hear about Jesus. As a matter of fact, our school lives by Proverbs 22:6. "Start children off on the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it." I've seen that work in my life. I've seen that work in my family's life. And I've seen it work in other lives too. I'm sure some of you have too. Likewise, no one is too old to learn about Jesus. No one is too far outside not to be included if they want to be. And so we all have work to do. And so I'll leave you one thought. When we go from here, let's clear the stage of our lives. And let's put Jesus focused right in the middle. And you'll understand what I mean by that in just a few minutes. But until then, I'll say, Amen.